All right, beloved, Acts chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. Again, I think this is a very unusual scripture to come out of, especially considering this is Christmas morning of all time. Some people may wonder, you know, why at Danieltown do you meet on Christmas morning? A lot of churches, they have Christmas Eve services. Sometimes they have several, sometimes three Christmas Eve services. The Catholics sometimes have midnight mass right at the between of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And the reason really that we started this tradition here was because as a student of history, I've learned out throughout many, many years back in the during the 1800s. You go back to like the 1810s, 1820s. A lot of churches would actually open their doors on Christmas Day, both north and south, but this really became a southern tradition of holding church services on Christmas Day. And I said, well, if it was good enough then, yeah, I reckon it's good enough for us now. You know, it's like the old song, it says, give me that old time religion. It's good enough for our fathers, it's good enough for our mothers, you know, it's good enough for me. And so, as a person in the secular realm of retail, that being my job that I've had in the secular world throughout the many years, I've noticed a trend over time, I know as you have, that some businesses have actually started opening on Christmas Day. And I said, you know what? If these businesses are out there for that almighty dollar opening up on Christmas Day, why in the world can't we Christians open the house of God, even if it's just for a little time on the day that we celebrate the birth of our Savior? And it's all, I mean, we've seen people come in from different backgrounds. We've had visitors come in before, and it's always been a small little crowd. But hey, it was a small little crowd at the beginning when Jesus was born. We're not here basing this on many numbers, whether it's two of us or 200 of us. As long as we can, we want to keep this going. And hopefully, year by year, we'll see others join in with us. But this morning, I want to first of all thank you for taking time out of your family to be with the family of God. God laid this verse on my heart because if you look and you watch videos, or you've even probably seen it in your own life back through the many years and years ago that have gone by in all of our collective lives together, Christmas Day has always seems like it's been a day of excitement, especially for children. When they wake up and they're excited to see presents under the tree, it seems like sometimes, I know at least for me, the joy was just could not be contained. I was excited. I was ready to get to those presents. But having said all that, we think about, I think, what has to be one of the most unbelieved Bible verses in the whole Bible. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let's take a look at it. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 is where I want to look at this morning on our Christmas Day service here at Danieltown together. The Bible says, you just read along there, follow along there, and in your Word of God it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, you can go back through the Gospel of Matthew, through the Gospel of Mark, through the Gospel of Luke, and even through the Gospel of John, and I will already go ahead and tell you, you will not find that quote. But in my Bible, it's in red, where it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Even if it's not in red in your Bible, but Dr. Luke, he actually describes, he tells us, who said this? He said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, a lot of parents today, they would actually look at that and say, you mean the giver is happier than the getter? Surely, they say, that must be some mistake. That goes against all of our intuitions and our instinct. A lot of times you see people and they get something, and sometimes it's something that they really wanted, and they're just explosive with joy, excitement, and thanks. But if you're there and you get to see that happen, there is something inside of us that blesses us because of the excitement that we've been a small part of to give to that other person. Earlier this week, there was an article that came out on abcnews.com. It was entitled, Why It Feels Blessed to Give. And I want to read you some excerpts out of that article. And it goes off by saying this. How many times this Christmas season will you hear the expression, it is better to give than to receive? Lots, no doubt. The only problem is, that's a misquote. And the change of the original version is an interesting reflection on how our understanding of generosity has changed. The original quote attributed to Jesus said, blessed, not better. Do the words mean the same thing? Bless or blessed, according to my dictionary, means the giver will be revered, favored, happy, and is thus receiving something in exchange. Better just means better than good. So it's not a totally bad thing, but there may be no reward, the article says. The article went on to cite four studies on why they say we feel the way we do when we give. And I said, well, what are those reasons man says? Well, one of the studies tracks why monkeys give. That might have been a government project, guys. Anyway, the article says the scientific literature is rich with attempts to answer that. Not all of them agree, but there is a general theme running through many of them. We'll pull out a buck and drop it in the pot because they say we need each other. And getting blessed wouldn't be so bad either. Among the other reasons given for why we give is the basic common thread that they see is that giving lowers stress levels. This was the answer that was given the most. For example, guys, y'all may not enjoy this, but here's what they did. Again, another study that was done by some university. Psychologists at the University of California, Los Angeles, recruited 20 happy couples and put the women through a brain scanner while their guys were standing nearby receiving painful electric shocks. Ouch. In some cases, the female could reach out and touch her man or squeeze his arm. And in other cases, she couldn't do that. The scanners revealed that her stress went down. Her, notice, not his, because he's out there getting zapped. But her stress level went down when she was able to touch his arm, trying to ease his pain. And the area of her brain associated with rewards lit up. In other words, the study says, giving has its own rewards. Then the article followed the monkeys around and tried to tie us humans back to evolution. At the end, the article spins this around to include our so-called primitive ancestors by concluding the following. We learned when we first started hunting big animals that we need each other. So helping the guy down the road may be better for the giver, especially when dinner time rolls around, which brings us back to blessed or better, which is correct. I'll stick with the original. Well, you know what, beloved? That's easier said than done nowadays. If you want to stick with the original, too many people have thrown away, they've ditched the old King James Bible, the original truth, in favor of something that is so-called better. But you know what, folks? If you want better, keep the NIVs, the RSVs, the New King James. But you know what I'll do? I think I'll take my blessing from the old King James Bible. That's what I'm going to stick with. But now, how is it really? How is it really that Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive? I'm not looking at some psychological mumbo-jumbo like they tried to put it out from that article this past Sunday. But rather, I want to know why, from a Bible standpoint, biblically, why is it that you and I are said by Jesus Christ Himself to be more blessed to give than to receive? I mean, when you stop and look at it, surely some people say that Jesus is not telling the truth. That's a bold-faced lie, and that is heresy. Jesus never said a lie. He never sinned at all. Amen. But so when He says it's more blessed to give than to receive, that's a bona fide truth. You can take it to the bank. Well, how? The great question, why? All right, let me give you a couple of points here this morning. And I think we'll be able to see why. Why is it that we are more blessed to give than to receive? Well, number one, first of all, giving obeys God's command. Jesus tells us through His Word time and time again, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that we are to give. One of the major areas that we're to give is ourselves to God. We're to give ourselves over to the Lord's commandments and to the Lord's words. So, when you give, you are actually obeying God's command. And number two, when you give, you and then you're obeying what God said to do, what happens then? You and I, are submitting to God's lordship. I mean, think about it. If God tells you to do something and you do that, what are you doing? You're submitting. You are yielding your authority to His. You're letting Him be in control, right? I mean, isn't He the boss? Yeah, He's the one supposed to be in charge. So when we give, we're actually obeying what He tells us to do in the long run. So is it the fact that we're able to be blessed when we're obedient to God? Yes. And you know what, beloved? Go through your Bible. Look it up. That is the only way you and I are going to be blessed, is if we obey what thus saith the Lord. So if I'm not going to be able to give to someone, if I don't give to someone, how can I be blessed by God? I can. You say, well, preacher, I'm poor. I can't give anything. You can give your time. I remember my mama telling me years ago that in her mind, she couldn't afford to give money to something. So she told God, I will give you time. So what did she do? She told me, I gave God 2 hours and 40 minutes out of my day. That's 10% of 24 hours. That's a tithe. And I said, well, what did you do? She said, well, I sang hymns, I studied my Bible, I read, I tried to help somebody else that was in need if I could. And I said, you know what, that was a pretty good idea. And too many times, what do we give God? We give God our scraps. We give God our leftovers. Right before we go to bed, we say our bedtime prayers, and in the middle of those prayers, talking to the Creator of the universe, sometimes we fall asleep and we wake up and we say, Amen. We've left God hanging all through the night. I'm sure God doesn't mind sometimes, but how would you feel if you were talking to someone on the phone and they fell asleep? I've been there before. It's not fun. Sometimes you begin to get worried. You say, where did you go? Hello? I remember years and years ago, back when I was in high school, when I was dating a young lady. And she had the bad habit of getting on there, and she'd be doing something else. And I'd be trying to carry on a conversation, and she'd just bust out singing all of a sudden. Some country song or something. And I'd say, is that all I'm worth? I'm trying to carry on a meaningful conversation, and all you're doing is singing some old country song? I said, okay, well, look, I got to go. Bye, click. I learned very, very importantly that from that moment, I said, this person doesn't really, they're not interested. Sometimes I wonder if God is getting the same vibes from us sometimes, that we're not really interested. You know, we're just here doing our own little thing, humming along, doing our own little thing, and we're just really not paying all that much attention when God's trying to carry on a conversation with us. But when we give, beloved, number one, we're not only obeying what God has told us to do, but number two, we're submitting to the lordship of God. We're letting Him be in control. Another thing that giving does, number three, is that giving exhibits God's heart. You think about that. Who is the one who gives the most? It's God. Think about it when you was lost and I was lost. That air that we were breathing, that was a gift from God. We didn't deserve that. It wasn't ours. God gave us our every single breath, our every single heartbeat that we had.
That was a gift from God. Every moment, every second, every day, God gave us that. And it wasn't ours, it was His.
Why? Because He owns it all. So why is it more blessed to give than to receive? I mean, look at it from God's standpoint there.
God gives, gives, gives. That's the heart of God. God is a giver. And He gives so much and receives so little in return. Think about if God has given you and I so much, and He has, what are we giving back to Him? We exchange presents so many times. A lot of people on this day, when there's so many presents under the tree, we give to one another. But where is God's gift? If giving shows the heart of God, how are we showing Him, and how are we showing others that heart of God? The most giving heart that has ever existed.
When you and I give, point number four, when we give, you know what we're illustrating? We are illustrating salvation. Think about that.
You know, there may be a homeless person out there. And you know, a lot of people, they say, they need to get a job. They need to do this. A lot of people, even I myself, have been down through time past, been critical, had a judgmental heart. God forgive us. And that person there, guys, we don't know their story. There are some homeless people that have had foreclosures. There are some homeless people that have had a divorce and they just can't get back on their feet. And suddenly there they are out in that cold world with a society that looks down their nose at them, not willing to help them do anything. Somebody might say, well, I don't want to give them money. They may go spend it on booze or something else. Well, help them. That's what we try to do. If somebody comes here and they need help, we don't give them the money. We say, all right, if you're hungry, we'll go get you some food. If you need gas, we're not going to give you the money to go get the gas. We're going to take you and fill up your vehicle. Or maybe not fill it up, but put something in there. Right? It is the Christian thing to do, to be able to help someone else. I mean, didn't Jesus talk about so many parables? Didn't He tell us so many times, if you have two coats, give one. If you have two loaves of bread, give one. Help someone else. And you know what giving is, guys? Giving is when you give it, there's no strings attached. You are not expecting them to pay you back. You're not expecting them to give you something back. Giving is, this is yours. End of story. That's what a gift is. And you know what? So many times we think, well, they don't deserve that. They don't. Did you and I deserve salvation? Do you and I deserve to go to heaven? I don't. We don't. I deserve hell. I deserve the wrath and judgment of a righteous and pure, just, holy God. But God looked on you and I while we were yet sinners. The Bible says that Christ loved us. He died for us. And He gave us that which we did not and nor ever would ever will deserve. He gave that to us. Who are you and I to say that person doesn't deserve it? We are supposed to be kind to everyone. No matter what race, no matter what creed, no matter what religion, no matter what nationality, we are to be kind to everyone. Why? Because that shows the heart of salvation. Doesn't the Bible say? Doesn't the Bible tell us? To John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the Jews? No. Does it say the sin of the white people? No. It says the sins of the world. The whole world.
So when you give to someone that society says they don't deserve that, we're illustrating salvation. Well, when you give, point number five, when you and I give, we're trusting sometimes, if it's money, we're trusting God's provision. You know, that goes back to the tithe. A lot of churches, a lot of church folk today, they don't tithe. We should tithe. Every one of us, no matter what situation, no matter what financial condition we find ourselves in, all of us should be willing to trust God. I mean, what if God said, you know, I won't 50% instead of 10%. If I was to put in 50% of what I made, would that not really force me to trust the hand of God? Yeah.
But God doesn't say put 50%. He says 10%. That's what He told the Old Testament people, and that principle was carried on over into the New Testament. But a lot of people say, oh, I can't afford to do that. You mean you and I can't afford to trust God? I believe we can. We just choose not to. And when we don't give to God, Malachi says, will a man rob God? That rhetorical question is in the affirmative, yes. Because you read that whole section out of Malachi, and that's exactly what the priests had done to God. They had robbed God. And you and I have robbed God too many times of time, of talent, of treasure. We have robbed Him of His glory. We've taken credit for something that He's done. Maybe not you, but I know I have before. So when He says, will a man rob God? Of course. Too many Christians rob God too many times. And we shouldn't do that. While I'm on that topic, when we talk about tithe, a lot of people asked me years and years ago, when around the time I first became pastor here back in 2004, they said, should I tithe off my net or my gross? Now, this is primarily to people that have a paycheck. When I work at Dollar General, I actually got fooled this past week. I get a little email that tells me, here's your net pay. And so I see the little email, and it's so tiny I can't look at it. So I highlight it, and then I click, and then it blows it up. So anyway, I thought I had clicked the right figure. And so I saw, this is your pay, and I saw a larger number. I said, woo! I told Heather, I said, hey, I got overtime or something. I don't know what. But I got a good check coming. We'll pay some more bills. And I said, wait a minute. I looked at the other number, and it went down like $100. I said, never mind. That's my net pay. Scratch that. But your gross is what you got paid. Your net is what's left over after Uncle Sam puts his hand in there and gets everything out, and your insurance or whatever else you got coming out. That's what you take home. The net is thinking like a fishing net. It goes, the fish goes into the net. That's what you take home to eat. And somebody asked me, they said, well, I tithe off my net. I said, why? If you do that, you're giving Uncle Sam more than you're going to give God. I said, let's just use round numbers because they're easier for me to compute. Hey, let's say you gross 300 and you net 200. Okay, that's easy enough. Well, some people say, well, I'll put a $20 bill in. Why? Why not 30? I need that 10. What about giving God what God asks for? Because that's what you actually got paid. You got paid that first number. What you took home was the second number. So when we do that, in reality, what are we doing? We're robbing God. Pure and simple. So when we give, when we tithe, when we give, now remember what giving is. If I tithe my tenth or whatever it is that I bring home or whatever off of that stub or however, when I tithe to God, giving is above the tenth. But if you say, well, I have no money to give, then give your time. Give your talent. Give of yourself. That's what God wants. God wants you, the whole you, our mind, our eye, our hands, our feet. Not just our wallet. Too many people think that's all God wants. Do you think this church operates just by me? No. How does the church go on? Somebody's got to come in and vacuum, right? I mean, how many times have we seen somebody dragging dirt off their feet? Accidentally, no doubt. Somebody's got to vacuum. Somebody's got to take out the trash. Somebody's got to cut the grass. Somebody's got to put wax down on the pews from time to time. Somebody's got to dust. Somebody's got to do maintenance on the dripping faucet. Somebody's got to change the burnout light bulb. Somebody's got to change the sign outside. A lot of people don't ever think of that. Somebody needs to come sing in the choir. Somebody needs to play the piano. Somebody's got to preach. Somebody's got to teach Sunday school. I can't do all that. And guess what? Neither can you. That's why we're a family.
In a family, doesn't everybody have something to do? Sometimes mom works, sometimes dad works. Don't little Susie and little Bobby, don't they have chores to do? At least they used to. I don't know about nowadays. Isn't there consequences when something isn't done? Yeah. And guess what? This is God's house. God is our what? Our Heavenly Father. This is something that takes all of us. Too many people look at me or they look at the pastor and they say, that's what it's all about. No, I'm just you. I'm just one of you. We're in this thing together, guys. That's what Danieltown is about. The love of God, the Word of God, and we're in this thing together. It ain't about, no, there is no big I's and little U's. It's us together as a family. So when we give, we're trusting God's provision. I well remember one person told me one time, they said, we took our tithe and we needed groceries and we went out and we spent our tithe money on groceries. Well, then that family stopped to visit another family and this is what they told me. This is not a lie. They said, when we come back out to our car, our groceries had been stolen. Somebody reached in the back of their car and stole their groceries while they were inside visiting someone. If we steal from God, beloved, we can expect to be stolen from ourselves. But when we trust God's provision, what did the Bible say? He's not yet seen the righteous in the street begging for bread. So, what else does giving do? How else can giving bless us? And by the way, before I leave that point, you better believe, when you trust God to supply your every need, when God meets that need, oh, it's going to be a happy time. You're going to get your socks blessed off. Because when it looked like there's no way left, and you've done everything you could, and there's no way left, there's no way possible, you think, God comes through in the end. He may not answer it the same way you want Him to or I want Him to, but God will supply our need. And we have to be careful, beloved, not to confuse our wants, which are very many, with our needs, which are really, beloved, very few. In America, that's what we've done. We've combined wants and needs into one. They're not the same. I want a lot of things in this life, like you do. Don't deny it. There's a lot of things we want. But God knows what our needs are. He knows we need clothes. He knows we need a place where we can at least keep the rain off of our head. And then a place where we can at least hopefully keep warm. It may not be the biggest mansion out there, but there is a place, there is a way God can supply our need. You say, what about the homeless man? There are shelters. Is that not a provision of a need that God has met? Yes, it is. We should never down the way God works. And He doesn't work the same way in everybody's life, does He? But He's always working. I thank God He is. Well, how about this? Over in 2 Corinthians 2:7, the Bible tells us that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Think about that. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. So when I give to someone, when you give to someone, you know what I think God's doing? I think that point number 6, that when you and I give, not only are we obeying Him, not only are we submitting ourselves to His Lordship, not only are we exhibiting the heart of God, not only are we illustrating salvation, not only are we trusting Him for His provision, but you know what I think also giving does? I think giving also widens God's smile. If the Bible says He loveth a cheerful giver, I think He smiles a little bit wider when we give. That's just what I think. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Well, how about another thing? Number 7. Giving advances God's kingdom. This is what I wrote down. Many of us have contributed to Apple. Not the apple on the tree out there, but the Apple, the computer company. Many of us have contributed to Microsoft in one way or another. We have helped to grow a company from a garbage operation, a garage operation to the worldwide empire it is today. And I'm happy about that, as it's a company that has brought many blessings to the world. But think of the blessing.
of those blessings that result when you and I fund the mission of Christ's church. When you give into the offering plate, you are paying salaries of pastors. You are paying missionaries. When you give to the mission field, we have 5 missionary families that we support by your generous contribution. We're helping them live. Guys, those missionaries have left their secular employment. They have left their job. They have went into the mission field to reach these people out there wherever they may be, whether it be here in America or whether it be across in some foreign country. They are trusting God to meet their need. And when we give or when we don't give, they feel that every month. Churches and the gifts of you as believers are funding resources for outreach, evangelism, discipleship. If you give and say, "Pastor, I want this to go to an article in the newspaper," you're giving that money and you are helping the outreach of this church. So many times we say we want the church to grow. We have to have finances to do that. Every month we're charged for sermon audio. Well, the church isn't. We pay that out. And we're reaching people all around the world by the preaching and the teaching from this church. Danieltown is being heard from in countries all around this world. But above all, beloved, what are we doing when we put our money into God's church, wherever it may be? We are investing in the spiritual and the eternal welfare of people from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. Our dollars and our hours of volunteering are changing one by one homes, relationships, countries, and yes, the most important, even the eternal destination of souls of people all around this world. And that, beloved, is what it's all about. When you give, it isn't about paying me a salary. When you give, it isn't really about paying the light bill. When you give to the cause of Christ, however it is, you are giving to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ so that somebody out there might be born again. And if that is not the focus of a local New Testament church, beloved, I tell you right now, they have lost the vision. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What else does giving do? Giving testifies there is a God. You say, how is that? Well, think about it. A lost man, sinful man, always, always is on the lookout for number one, himself. Now, he may not act like it, but deep down inside, he's looking for something what? In return. Think about work salvation, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Why do they work so hard to advance their faith? They're not really caring about people. You know what they're wanting? They're wanting to earn their way to heaven. They're wanting something from God. When you boil it all down to a nutshell. So when we give of our time, our talents, and our treasure, we're showing a lost and dying world what? There's something different about us. That this change is not of us or from ourselves, but has come from the new man inside of us. This is why when one person, think about this, when one person does something very good or very different, what happens? It's on the news. I remember a Duck Dynasty episode where Phil and the guys, they bought a woman a whole new house. It's a double-wide trailer, but it's a house. And this poor woman, they went to church for 40 years. And they said, this little lady needs a decent place to live. So they had the funds, they had the means. What did they do? They went and bought a house. Said, here it is, Merry Christmas. Ain't that something? I've heard about people say, they just beside somebody at the pump and they say, hey, go fill your car up. I'm going to pay for all your gas. You say, preacher, that's just too much. Well, how about this? What's something you can do just to be different? Think about the next time you're in a McDonald's line and you got a $20 bill. And you go up to the car. You go up to the drive-thru window and you're there to pay. You say, how much is that ticket behind me, in the car behind me? And they say, oh, it's $10. And your meal only cost you $5. You got $20. They say, well, go ahead and pay for that meal too. Then imagine that. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Imagine the sight. Now, I know we're tempted to look back in our rearview mirror. But imagine the sight when that person rolls up and they're ready to pay. And the person says, it's already paid for. Woo! Glory! Ain't that something? Now, can you and I afford something like that? Maybe. Guys, it shows there is a God, because a normal lost person, they ain't going to do that, because every dollar they have is going to who? Them. Now, yes, lost people can do some pretty wonderful things. They can think of others. But remember, in the end, when you boil it all down, why? Ultimately, it's got to go back to them. Somewhere, some way, somehow. But you and I, that's not what it's supposed to be about. Our life in Christ is supposed to be about one person. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This life stopped being about you and me when we got saved. Or at least it was supposed to have. What did Jesus say? He said, if a man follow me, let him deny himself. Sometimes what Craig would rather do is spend the whole $15 on feeding his own gut. But I don't need that many burgers floating around my bread basket. I need to back away from the table. Always remember, be on the lookout for an opportunity to give. You never know how it might change somebody's life. You never know. So what does giving do? Point number 9, final point. Giving promotes God over self. It promotes Christ over you and I. I cannot tell you how many times I shrieked and shouted for joy on a Christmas morning like today. And Mom and Daddy standing over there, sitting over there, just beaming. Maybe not showing it, but in their heart. Being blessed because they were able to give of their hard-earned money, their sweat, their blood, and their toil, and their time, and their treasure to make their son happy. Thank you, Daddy. How many of you can remember something like that? You've been able to give to somebody else, and you just watch them, and they sometimes cry, they sometimes break down. And they're just so humbled. They're so blessed. While they may be experiencing that, now think about what God's doing to you. He's blessing your socks off. Because you have been able to be His hand reaching out to bless somebody else. You see, when we're able to do that, too many times, we're just clenching. But we have to be willing to what? Let go and give. So, beloved, on this Christmas morning, a lot of people don't believe this Bible verse. They do not believe this. They say it is impossible for the giver to feel more blessed than the one who gets. I tell you the truth this morning. I think from what we've looked at, I think it is entirely possible that you can be more blessed even than the one who gets. Because you are being blessed with something that goes in your heart and in your soul from our Heavenly Father. Because you know what? Jesus said, store up, lay up treasures in heaven. And when you give, God is blessing you. And I believe that we get the effect now, but wait till we get to heaven. I think all those blessings that God give us, I think they're still up there. And we're going to have them for what? All eternity. Well, guys, let's go to the Lord in prayer.